Hey, Pardon My Take listeners. You can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. On today's Pardon My Take, we have our good friend Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk. We recap all wild card weekend. Football's pretty dumb, so we don't really touch on it too much. Whatever. There was games Saturday.
We're more of a college football podcast. We got the national championship to focus on tonight.
Listen, bro, it's basketball season. Yeah. Oh, I forgot. I fucking forgot about the national championship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We got to talk about that.
Time to move on.
So we have a good, fun show. Sure. Whatever. Let's do it. Before we get to it. It's a Cash App. You know it. It's time to talk about
Listen, I get you being down, but for sponsors, I'm going to need you to kick it up a little bit.
Whether you're searching for a home to buy or you're just obsessed with looking at homes for sale, Redfin's got you covered. Redfin updates their listings every 2 minutes so you can find the home that's just right for you. You can favorite homes, share listings with others, and even schedule tours with a local Redfin agent all in the app. When you're ready to buy, an experienced local Redfin agent can guide you through the whole process. So download the Redfin app today to get started. Okay, let's go! Boy!
It's Pardon My Take, presented by Barstool Sports.
Welcome to Pardon My Take, presented by SeatGeek. Today is Monday, January 7th, Wild Card Weekend. We start in Houston, where the Colts aren't doctors despite Jim Irsay's continued requests for prescriptions, but they did stay in a T.Y. Hilton last night. Andy Bernard Luck showed everyone who was Big Tuna this Saturday. Stanford, ever heard of it? As he linked up with Eric Ebronosaurus, sticking his neck out for a big first quarter score. Quentin Tarantino Nelson was an inglorious bastard, only this time the Reich got a win as he leveled his five-finger death punch on the Texans' pass rush all afternoon long. Deshaun Watson and Holmes didn't have any good critical reception except for a Kiki challenge that was upheld. Kiki, is that a touchdown while you're driving? Did you lose possession of the ball before the pylon? Is that a touchback? And the whole of Bill O'Brien's chin will be around for another year as there's no spare pinkies to plug it up. Colts 21, Texans 7.
We stay in Texans, where they didn't use Kerry Russell Wilson as a Russian threat enough against the Americans team in their QB spy. Tyler, Westside lock it out. Sasso lock it out. Tried to make Dallas say unk, but Blake Charles Jerwin and the Cowboys have evolved into an upright standing position, except for Allen Hurd. Tough to watch. America was so wrong for so long about Jason Derulo Garrett.
Jason Derulo.
What you say now, haters, as Dak Prescott Van Pelt got his team a win and betters a bad belt. Cowboys 24, Seahawks 22. Some spread.
Jason Derulo. In Charm City, it came down to the wire, but in the words of my good friend Lamar Randy Jackson from
Louisville, boom.
That's going to be a no for me, dog, for the Ravens advancing. Eckler got Austin space, but Melvin Gordon Lightfoot got the team back on carefree highway to victory. Mike turning your gun in Badgley outkicked Justin Chris Tucker and had the Ravens fans home before rush hour.
Don't you ever touch a black man's radio. Love that movie, boom.
Adrian Grenier Phillips knows you have to make Aquaman beating the Ravens before you can star in Medellin, taking it to the Patriots in Foxborough. The San Diego Superchargers, 23, Ravens, 17.
Fumble! We finish in the city of big shoulders, and you know what they say about guys with big shoulders. They've got big nicks. Foles, that is. Abercrombie and Mitchell Trubisky was a trendy pick to get to the Super Bowl, but he aeropostaled one too many throws.
That's French for airmail, boom.
Zach, I want a girl with a short Ertz and a Chris Long. Hackett said this game is a piece of cake for the Eagles. Hey, Teej, what do Courtney Parkey and Vince Vaughn's character in the Chicago-based comedy The Breakup have in common?
What, Boom?
They're both pole locks. Eagles 16, Bears 15.
All right. Wild card weekend. And I'm sure there are a lot of people that are tuned in to see Suicidal Big Cat.
So,
and you are in luck because he's here.
Listen, December 23rd, 2018, at Barstool Big Cat. That's me. Parkey will kill us all, and we have no one to blame but ourselves.
Is this oral retweeting? You're oral retweeting yourself?
I mean, I don't really know what to say.
You have been saying for months.
For months. I even tried to cut him in preseason.
You
have a tweet from August 18th saying, cut Cody Parkey.
Didn't you say something to Matt Nagy about the kicking position too?
Ryan Pace. I was like, dude,
oh, yeah, that's
stop
right, yeah,
pranking us. So, obviously, the Bears lost in heartbreaking fashion. The dreaded double doink.
Never seen that before.
Well, you never watched WWE as a kid?
No, not really.
The two doinks?
I watch real
dink
sports.
Dink and doink. So, I don't really know what to say because I was expecting it. It was I likened it to a slow punch aimed directly at my nose that I've just been staring for 3 months and I can't move my body out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
And then it happened. So part of me is like, damn, I can't believe this happened. What the fuck? And part of me says, you know what? Like, NASA wouldn't have me go fly a spaceship to the moon.
Don't rule yourself out. They wanted Lance Bass to do it. They could very well ask you.
They would, and what I mean by that is they wouldn't put me in a place to not succeed. Why did we put Cody Parkey in a place that he was not going to succeed? And I did see, obviously, the replay. It might have been tipped.
Yeah.
It might have been tipped. So I'm not I'm not going to be one of those guys who sits here and say, fuck Cody Parkey, what the fuck? He was not a good kicker all year, and then he was not a good kicker in the playoffs, so whose fault is that?
Well, so I think it did get tipped.
Yeah.
One of those, like, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away situations when it comes to fingertips this weekend for you.
Well, we'll get to that, but that's actually a good point about the Lord because Cody Parkey, remember, he said he's going to trust Jesus. He said, trust in what I'm doing and trust that the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ makes no mistakes. Well,
as we've said,
you want to blame anyone, it's actually Jesus.
As we've said, Jesus had bad luck with crossbars, too.
Yes. So,
I actually have some spin zones for you that I wrote down.
Well, I have some.
And you can, I do too. You can tell me which ones you think work for you or if you have more that you'd like to add to the list.
Okay, I have some as well.
So since it got tipped, you'll probably bring Cody Parkey back next year. So he's probably going to be better next year.
Nope.
That doesn't work. Okay.
All right. You should have started with the Packers record was 6-9.
Okay. Well, my fourth one was going to be the Packers sitting at home.
Yes. The Packers record was 6-9 this year. Just remember that.
Okay. I will remember that.
Somewhat healthy Aaron Rodgers went 6-9.
Okay. Better to lose now than lose in the NFC Championship game.
I don't know about that.
For me personally, everyone was like tweeting at me being like, hey, you must be so happy with how sad Big Cat must be.
No, we leave that to the Giggle Twins.
That's not true.
Liam and Hank, they're the Giggle
Bubba
Boys.
And Hank, they're the ones that can laugh at us. Because guess what? We're the men in the arena.
Yes.
And we know true heartbreak. Mm-hmm. I would never do that to you.
Yeah.
But I really wanted to see you like more suicidal later on. I wanted you to experience some success before I could laugh at you for your failure. Does that make sense?
Yeah, sure. Because
this feels too early.
Well,
right,
yeah, but there wasn't a chance of like this was a heartbreaking game versus if they had just lost in a blowout,
no,
it wouldn't have been the same.
But I think you guys would agree. I never got full cocky about this Bears team. I always was saying like there are things that are not 100%. Like the defense is dominant, but it's not a complete team, and there are pieces to it. They could run the table, and they could just as easily lose like they did on Sunday.
Okay, Mitch is basically a rookie.
Yes, that's true.
Okay, so next year, in his second year in the system, he'll be good.
Ben Simmons.
Yeah, exactly. The parade would have been super cold. That would have been uncomfortable in Chicago in February.
Go back to rookies. Speaking of rookies, Kevin White's still a rookie.
There you go.
Still a rookie.
There you go. Champagne is basically all empty calories, and you don't need any of that right now.
Diet. That's part of my spin zones.
Okay. Better draft pick.
Yes, true. True.
Moving on up.
True. Wait, we don't own our draft pick. Fuck.
He didn't hit...
The Raiders have it.
Cody didn't hit three uprights.
Also true.
Could have been worse.
Could have been way worse. I thought that was in. I really did. When it doinked, I was like, oh, it doinked and went in. And it took me a second to realize when they came out, and I was like, wait, what? It was so dramatic because I was waiting for the refs. I had no idea if it had gone in or not.
Yeah.
And then they did it. That's a tough one. All right, so here are a couple of my spin zones. Packers record 6-9. I have all my fingers. We all have all of our fingers. We still are a podcast with 40 full fingers. Mm-hmm. That's pretty good. I'm on a diet, so like my back doesn't hurt as bad. That's pretty good as well.
Okay.
We still have the number one sports podcast.
Oh, that's yeah. We can always fall back on.
Always fall
actually,
back on that.
This is good for business.
Yes.
If we're being
oh,
honest.
It always like, is.
You like, getting your heart broken is really really.
It's
great.
Like work really really hard to get an A-lister guest or just have one of our teams just lose in a heartbreaking fashion.
Yeah,
they're both the same.
Yeah,
they both will get the same amount of numbers.
I'm trying to think what teams we can adopt that are really really
the
shitty and always lose. Well, we like the Browns.
They are America's team.
By the way, I think that they are. We'll get to this later, but Browns, it's looking good for you guys next year.
Yeah.
Really good.
For all of us.
Yeah, for all of us.
My last point was football is stupid anyway, and I'm obviously
I'm
more
stop
of a basketball
no,
guy.
That's not
so
true.
Everyone knows that. I don't even like football. It's like it's such a waste of time.
You're a fake fan? Is that what you're saying?
I just hate it. It's like so stupid.
You know
it's so
you're
random.
Not, you're not invested in anything.
You know what?
I'm
going to cancel football. Football, you're canceled.
What if the ball had just like come to a perch on the upright, bounced off one like the upper,
I don't know
and then
who had the possession
on the crossbar.
Arrow. No, we
it
did.
Just chills there. You guys did.
Yeah, we had. So jump ball.
It's a home team. Yeah. So here's another one for you. Trubisky actually did throw two good passes on that last drive.
He threw a bunch of good passes. I want to actually get
mattered.
To that. What do you say, Hank?
You don't have to wear pants for 3.5 weeks.
Yeah, true. That's right. It's jumpsuit January.
True. I have worn the same jumpsuit 2 days in a row.
Which one?
This one.
We don't have to
you
travel.
Can buy it. Barstool Sports Store. It's velour.
That's kind of nice.
No big deal.
We don't have to go out to L.A.
Would have been nice to go to L.A.
For Jared Goff to rip your heart out.
I was actually thinking about if we had gone to L.A. to do something fun for all four of us to go to the game. We do like a we randomly dose one of us with a shitload of edibles and just see what happens.
Oh, no.
At the game.
Hope it's not me.
That went well last
time. Yeah, that went well.
All right,
so I want to talk about the game for a second because you brought up the Trubisky thing.
Mm-hmm.
Mitch played a bad first half, and I don't even blame him. I actually think Matt Nagy, like, he kind of turtled in the moment, and I think he's a very, very good coach, and I'm sure he'll learn from it, but they just didn't throw the ball outside the numbers or down the field whatsoever. And then in the second half, they're like, oh, yeah, the Eagles have, like, maybe the worst secondary in the league, and we should maybe try to get some guys, scheme some guys open and throw it downfield, and hey, guess what? It worked.
Mm-hmm.
So that was baffling to me. And I will give credit, Nick Foles, the Eagles' offensive line was unbelievable. They basically kept Khalil Mack and the pass rush pretty much clean all night.
Yep.
And Nick Foles, I don't know what's going on. I do not understand it. He throws balls up that, like, you just say that's got to be intercepted, and it just sticks there, and then Golden Tate will get, like, a 20-yard reception, or Alshon Jeffrey will jump somewhere. And I said it while we were watching the game. I was like, Golden Tate was always a Bears killer when he was for the Lions, and then guess what? He gets the fourth down, fourth and goal, touchdown to seal the victory.
I don't want to be one of those guys that immediately says, okay, Foles is a better quarterback than Carson Wentz, but I do think when it comes to the offensive line, there's something about blocking for a guy like Nick Foles as opposed to blocking for a guy like Carson Wentz.
Yeah.
You're like, I know Nick Foles is basically a statue. He's going to be in the pocket. I know where I have to block my guy. It gives him a clean pocket a lot, and he's able to make some weird throws that just happen to work for him every – it has to be the month of January for it to work. Outside January, all bets are – or February, all bets are off.
Something is going on where the Eagles – I mean, credit to them. They came in to, and beat the number one
God
defense on the road.
Is Nick Foles going to write another book?
Probably. I guess we actually found out because Jesus was on their side.
Nick Foles was
rooting for the Eagles. I saw it coming. We all saw it coming. This isn't like I'm trying to say that I'm a prophet because anyone who watched the Bears this year, Cody Parkey missed 11 kicks, I think.
Yes.
Everyone knew this was coming, and everyone knew our worst nightmare was a close game down the stretch, need a field goal to win the game. Look what happens.
Mm-hmm.
And it happened. And I just, like, football is canceled. I've canceled football. Don't even play the rest of the playoffs. It's stupid. Everyone kind of agrees, right?
No,
like,
hard
like
disagree.
Like, people get bad injuries.
Nope.
Like, Alan Hurts, you
nope.
see that, man? That was
don't
terrible.
You, don't you
slander
Don't
do
this.
That. Don't have them hurt
I
themselves.
Will not sit here and have you slander
you're
the NFL.
Hurting.
Just I understand
Dude,
I understand
them.
That you're hurting right
they're
now.
They're hurt themselves, man.
Right now, your heart looks
bad.
Like Alan Hurts.
Sounds like you could
ankle.
Use some liquid to go with your sorrows
Shut
right
up.
Now.
We're going to do
yeah,
it later.
Yeah, we'll do
you
soggy sorrows later.
But giggle twins. Liam and Hank just giggle in my face.
Another spin zone.
Stop being funny.
You're now free to totally open up and root for Philip Rivers these playoffs. Open up your heart for Phil.
What about Jared Goff? Friend of the program.
Well, yeah, he's our – we're rooting for a Los Angeles Super Bowl.
Okay, fine.
Whoa.
Yeah, we are.
Speak for yourself.
That's right, Hank.
Speak
you heard
for yourselves.
Me. Fuck everything, man.
You
so
heard.
Stupid. Football. Sports are
Football's
dumb.
Awesome.
Sports are
dumb.
I have
dumb. A question for you, big
I
guy.
I wish I was like, you know what? I'm going to read this week.
Okay.
I'm going to read a book.
Listen.
Fuck all you
this
haters.
Is really.
I'm done with sports. I'm going to read a book.
Watch
me now.
I'll sit here and I'll listen to you say that you're not going to watch football anymore, but once you start talking about reading books.
No, I did.
I have to stop you.
I bought Art of the Deal.
Yeah,
you're
you
just scared
it.
I'm going to negotiate the shit
no,
out of you once
dude,
I
I've
learn
already,
all these lessons.
I've already read every Trump book.
Oh, okay.
You ever read Think Big and Kick Ass?
Yeah.
Yeah,
going
I read
to.
That one.
I'm yeah, I live my
kicking
life
your
way.
Ass in my mind this mm. whole show because you won't stop slandering the NFL.
Maybe have Cody Parkey read that one because. He doesn't kick
he would
anyone's
hit
ass.
My ass yeah. into the goalpost.
It was a big ass.
Yeah.
It's just right there.
You
maybe.
Think you could hit an ass?
Yeah, if you just if everyone just mooned him mm-hmm. right behind the goalpost.
He would be able to hit Larry Fitzgerald's ass.
Oh, fuck.
All that's right. about it.
Let's
so
talk about
let's
the rest
move
of the
let's I do have a question for about you, about Matt Nagy for you.
Yes.
So what's up with the BU thing on his place?
He's got a BU.
Is he schizophrenic?
No.
Why does he need to be reminded who to be?
It's. I mean, are you really asking this? It's a football guy. Like, football guys write sayings to themselves like that, hey, remember to be you.
It seems like a football guy that's listened to one too many TED Talks.
Well, you know what? I wish he had written it a little bit bigger because in the first half, he was not himself.
Yeah.
He was not. He was trying to win a game 9-6 and
it's
be like Mitch will hopefully, you know, not make any mistakes. But that's how you – what is it? What's the Point Break saying? Fear – The
is just weakness leaving
look
the body.
Look up Point Break Fear and read it to me, Hank. Let's talk about the other games. I'm done. The okay. football's canceled. Except I still have all my pinkies. Let's go to that game.
And also we can gamble. We can still gamble.
We can always gamble.
Fear causes hesitation, and hesitation will cause your worst fears to come true.
And so he was hesitating in the first
that,
half.
That is exactly what happened to Matt Nagy in the first half.
It was
R.I.P.
Bodie. It was P.U.
Yeah,
instead
R.I.P.
of B.U.
Yes, exactly. Well, 50-year wave, dude. So Colts
actually,
Texas.
You never saw him die.
That's true.
He might still be alive.
He's probably just floating around.
Mm-hmm.
Eddie would go. Colts. That was all my surfing all in one. Colts Texans.
Yeah.
I still have my pinky.
You do?
I was never really worried because that was the Texans. Like the Texans. Now credit to the Colts because I think the Colts could actually go to the Super Bowl. What they did to the Texans defensive line was incredible.
Yes.
But. I just will never trust the Texans. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's Bill O'Brien. Maybe it's that stadium. Maybe it's just like the helmet. Something about the Texans, I will always look at them and be like, well, they're about to just drop a clunker on Saturday afternoon.
It's tough to get past having Brock Osweiler as your starting quarterback without having that stench kind of linger around for a while.
Right.
Like, this is the organization that thought that this was a good idea.
They need to go on a miraculous run where they were maybe set. They win the AFC South at 7-9 or something.
I thought you were going to say they have to kill Brock.
Yeah, that too. But they have to do something that where they come out of nowhere because they are that team that every year, if they went 12-4 every year, be like, still not a threat.
Yeah.
Still not a threat. Now, the question to you, PFT. Obviously, we had the pinky bet. It was
yes.
thrilling. It was 3 months of excitement.
Uh-huh.
I think, unfortunately, what happened here was I'm addicted to it, and next year I'm going to pick a team to cut my pinky off if they win the Super
Bowl.
You're
going to be chasing the dragon.
I am going to be chasing the dragon, so we'll have to figure out
I'm just
going to
get a drug addiction. That sounds like it sounds way easier to me.
We have to figure out
I'll bet my liver.
We have to figure out the stipulations.
What was the how many games was it after? 5?
I think they were 2-3, and then they won 7 in a row after that.
You should have to pick a team after the 5
After
game.
5. After so I have to
and they have to be under 500.
No, because I think I think more often than not, the team under 500 have to After
I think
5 games isn't going to go anywhere.
I actually think they were way worse than 2-3. I think they were like 1-5 at some point.
No, they started 0-3 and they won 9 in a row. You're thinking of the Colts. Colts
yeah,
started 1-5.
That's right, yeah.
We'll figure it out later. But just so you know, that was just like a lot of people are like, oh, man, that's too bad. I wanted to see the pinky bet go a little further. That was just chapter one of the pinky bet. It's going to end with me losing a pinky at some point
mm-hmm.
in the future.
Yeah.
Like, I will not stop this bet until I cut off the tip of my pinky. I think that's where I'm at life.
So are we officially on board the Colts possibly being a Super Bowl team? Because I don't think that I am.
Okay, talk it out.
Now I'm starting to think myself into it. So next week they play the Chiefs.
They will block. They will block the Chiefs, and they will be able to throw on the Chiefs.
They will block the Chiefs.
They will block the Chiefs. That ain't it, Chief.
Okay.
I think they have everything. Of course, it's. We've always said this podcast. We've always said the NFL is so random, but I do think the Colts have all the pieces to get to the Super Bowl.
Okay,
and this final four in the AFC, all four of those teams are good.
You know what we are? We're 1 week from the rivalry officially being back on again.
Yes.
Colts-Patriots possible matchup.
Ooh. But don't you think that? Like, the AFC has four teams that you could see all four. The NFC, I think we're headed for Rams, Saints, too.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that the Saints win that at home.
Yeah, yes.
I think it's going to be Saints out of the NFC.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, any team from the AFC, I could see winning the Super Bowl, actually.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Except for the Patriots. I don't think the Patriots really have what it takes.
Well, I mean, I actually would say the Chiefs are the only team that I would throw out there because of their defense.
No, I'm just saying that to piss Hank off a little bit also because I very much want it to be true. But I think I
am slightly concerned about Phil Rivers having the team of destiny feel.
Okay, and then our stat of the day, Phil Rivers, the Chargers have yet to lose outside of the state of California this season.
So it's a problem for them if they win and the Colts win.
Correct.
Because then they go back to
But it's a bonus for all of us because we get to get an AFC Championship game in a soccer stadium.
Yeah.
Which would be hilarious.
And they just changed the name. It's not even the StubHub Center anymore. It's back to like what original name was.
SeatGeek Center.
SeatGeek Center?
Yeah, SeatGeek. It's
something like the like home healthcare awareness center.
Yes. So
that's what I'm going with.
So the Texans, the Colts move on. The Texans, see you later. Let's go to the night game. I got a question for you. What the fuck were the Seahawks thinking, PFT?
They were thinking Pete Carroll doesn't want to run the ball back in 2014, so now we're going to run the ball every fucking play until the end of times.
So now, that's
what they're thinking. Like Pete Carroll and Schottenheimer. By the way, Schottenheimer, the cross, the crucifix that he was wearing, week over week got bigger and bigger and bigger.
Singletary level.
Yeah, I think he's just trying to like ingratiate himself with Russ Wilson, just be like, hey man, we're on the same team. At the end of the day,
he must think there's a vampire on his team.
Yeah.
At some point.
Yeah. So if they're playing against Garlic, I think that they had it made, but. It was terrible play call. It was awful play call. Just like handing the ball to Chris Carson standing still on his heels.
It was not only that, but it was so clear to everyone who was watching that you couldn't run on the Cowboys. And you have Russell Wilson, who's one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. Mm-hmm. Russell Wilson threw the ball before the final drive, which obviously wasn't garbage time, but they were down 10. He threw the ball 21 times before that.
Mm-hmm.
21 times. 21 pass attempts, which is insane. And I think they were averaging like 8 yards per pass attempt and 2 yards per rush.
Yep.
And then every first down, they'd run it and run it and run it and run it to nothing.
Yeah.
It was insane.
Yeah, it was very weird. And then on the other side, Dak is going to get a bajillion-year extension. We're going to talk to Mike Florio about that in a little bit. I wasn't that impressed with Dak. Ezekiel Elliott's awesome.
He's
very, very good. And when he's playing, they can hand him the ball, you know, 30 times a game if they want to.
He's the difference. You know how the running back position in the NFL has kind of been diminished a little bit? Everyone says, well, you can get a replacement guy. Why draft a guy high? Ezekiel Elliott is why there's still a difference between the guys at the top and the guys right below it, because he makes plays, like 2 or 3 plays in a playoff football game. That run he had at the end of the game where he stiff-armed the Seahawks player and stayed in bounds.
He stiff-armed the dude by the other dude's hand.
It was unbelievable.
He held his hand. He couldn't do that to his brother.
Nope.
Stiff-armed his hand and knocked him down to the ground.
And it was probably, I don't know, he and Saquon Barkley, maybe Todd Gurley. Like, there's 3 or 4 guys who can do that play, and that's why you pay a running back for that.
Mm-hmm.
For that play, for the end of the game when you're trying to salt the game away, when you're trying to run to win, that's what you pay him for.
I've noticed he's also gotten better since he started wearing jerseys that covered his stomach.
Yes, and have you also noticed that his hair is so crazy that like it comes out in weird ways out of the holes of his helmet?
Yeah, that's pretty
cool.
And
it looks like vagina hair.
I kind of like it, yeah.
Yeah, like a 70s porn star.
Yeah, he's got the
side. It's pretty funny.
You call him Reggie Bush.
Yeah, I might be the only one who saw that hole and was like, oh, wow.
It looked like pubes to you?
Yeah, it did. It really did. Because it's stuffed in there, you know what I mean? So it's not, his hair is just coming out, but not in a natural way. And it's like, whoa, what's going on there? I think anyone who has a lot of hair with the helmet and it just comes out, it's like, hey, what are you thinking now?
Yeah. Exactly. They're entrapping you into thinking about porn. You know, Jerry Jones has taken a look at that and been like, hey, back in my day, tell you what.
Jerry Jones, what a moment. He got his big-time playoff win. Now he has to go to L.A. He's going to live it up in L.A.
Oh, yeah. He's there already.
Although,
he's on the bus on the way there right now.
Yes. And I don't know. Do you buy the Cowboys? I mean, like,
no,
I think I do, but I don't.
I think the Rams are going to kick the shit out of him.
Yeah, it's so weird because that was a game to me, and I don't want Cowboys fans to get upset because Dak Prescott did make that big play, and he made a bunch of big plays, and their defense is legit. But that was a game to me that if the Seahawks just used a little bit of common sense, they would have won that game.
They definitely could have won that game.
Right.
If they had changed their game plan at all starting in, like, the second quarter.
Yeah.
Because as I've said many times, Chris Carson is an awesome running back.
Yes.
But I don't get the obsession with handing somebody the ball when they're standing still in the shotgun formation
yeah.
and letting the defensive line get a push on them and the linebackers start running at him.
Right.
And the Seahawks love that.
Right.
There's nothing I hate more in life, in anything. My number one thing that I hate
in
more,
life.
In
Nazis.
Life,
Yes, Nazis.
I had to think.
Yeah.
But handing the ball to a running back out of the shotgun formation is number two.
It looks cool, though.
No, it doesn't.
It does sometimes.
Out of the pistol, it looks awesome.
It looks pretty cool sometimes.
Out of the shotgun.
It's just a draw.
No, thank you.
Nice little draw. The we also have to mention one of the all-time beats if you had the Cowboys minus 2.5. So yeah. Janikowski gets injured, which, look, Sebastian Janikowski's been in the league forever, and I think we all kind of love him because he's the fat guy who kicks. But was that not like the least surprising thing when a fat guy does something somewhat athletic and then grabs his leg? You're like, yep, that was coming. Like, we all knew that one was going to happen.
Him and Michael Bennett should just switch shoulder pads. He wears the big ones. 19 early 90s Randy Moss high school highlight tape shoulder
and
pads.
And zero alterations to his jersey.
Yeah, none.
It hangs so
like,
long.
Puts his on, I go outside, kicks the ball.
So he gets hurt. And then the Seahawks have to go for 2-point conversions for the rest of the game and no field goals. Mm-hmm. So at the end of the game, they get down. They're down 10. The line is 2.5, and they score and have to go for two. They get it. They cover in a miraculous way. And relatable Ravel, could you imagine?
No.
Could you imagine walking into work tomorrow and having to talk to the guy who had Cowboys minus 2.5 at the water cooler? It would be crazy.
I couldn't
because
I actually had the Seahawks.
Oh, okay.
And so at the very end when that happened, I thought it was just for me. I was like, you know what? This is my reward for watching football all day today is I get a nice little backdoor cover at the end.
Did you see Ravel's new thing is he just tweets out like people making bets? He's like,
some guy
made a $300,000 bet at this casino. It's like, okay. And?
Mm-hmm.
And then he just lists bets.
Yeah.
He lists people making bets.
It's all Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah. It's like,
Just like Floyd texts me every time you go to a casino.
Yeah. All right. Last game, Chargers-Ravens.
Yes.
The Lamar Jackson crew had to eat a little crow, no pun intended for the Ravens,
They
did because he was terrible in that first half. Made a little bit of a game of it in the second half, but man, he looked like he had never touched a football.
Yeah, he did that thing in the very first drive where he fumbled the ball and then picked it back up, and I was like, that was cool.
Yeah,
that's a play that not every quarterback can make, even though I'm pretty sure he just threw the ball away later.
Yeah,
but yeah, he stunk it up. He stunk out loud for the first two quarters
to the point where they almost put Joe Flacco in.
What do you mean? You're saying like you have to play really bad to put Joe Flacco in?
Yes, really bad.
Okay,
really bad.
No, that's not true.
You have to be so desperate to be like, hey, we don't. It actually put Joe Flacco in only when you're like, hey, the game is so far out of reach that we don't want Lamar Jackson to get hurt.
Right.
So now we'll put Joe Flacco in.
Well, that's not very fair to you, to me and other Joe Flacco fans out there.
Joe Flacco truthers, but
Joe Flacco was ready to play if called upon, and then after the game when they asked him about it, he said, if there's one thing you can say about Joe Flacco, he'll always say the right thing.
Yes.
He might suck, but at least like after the game, he won't throw anybody under the bus. After the game, they're like, were you thinking about going in? And he goes, no, man, don't give me that. This is Lamar's team, and you know he was going to go out there and make some plays, and we're all behind him. So like Joe Flacco, that was worth at least $80 million for him to say that right there.
This is very sad.
He says and does all the right things.
Joe Flacco has gone from elite to
he's a post-game superstar.
Decent teammate.
Post-game superstar.
Good guy.
Good guy, Joe. No, but Lamar played bad enough to get benched after the first half, and I was thinking that he was going to get benched. But the fact that he didn't, I think that the Ravens mostly didn't bench him because that screws everything up
everything.
For next year.
Everything. It starts
that's
the whole
an entire thing. Offseason of what are we going to do?
Absolutely. And this was also a game where Justin Tucker, one of the most, probably the most reliable kicker in the NFL,
mm-hmm.
he basically, not, I don't want to say he lost the game, but when you're,
it would have been different.
If you're down three with the ball at the end of the game and you got a guy who can hit a 60-yarder versus down six when he missed a kick that he always makes.
Yeah. Justin Tucker and Badgley, that was the Chargers kicker?
Yeah.
So the Chargers have a long storied history in that franchise of kickers that absolutely – of Cody Parkeys.
Yes.
That are not very good in the postseason.
Yes.
What was it, Nate Kading that missed
three?
That
was mean of you, by the way. I'm still like a little slow from the game. Like, don't do that. Right away.
I was just trying to relate to you on
just
something that you
might
just
don't say that name for a while.
Nate
don't
Kading?
Say it for a while. Yeah, Nate Kading. Remember him?
Yeah, so he missed three back in the playoffs. But it was shocking that the Chargers now have a kicker that made five.
Yes.
I think he made five out of six today, which is pretty impressive.
That is impressive. It's,
yeah.
So Phil Rivers marches on. I'm so excited to watch Phil Rivers some more play. This is the year of Phil.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we've had the season of Phil, and watching him get mad at refs and scream and yell, and hopefully it all ends. Like, close your eyes. Think of the Super Bowl. Phil Rivers is down a score with a minute and a half left, and it's the classic Phil Rivers drive. But this time he completes it.
This time
they win.
Charlie Brown kicks the football.
Oh, my God. Would that? I mean, he would have to retire.
Oh, yeah. He's absolutely retiring.
He would
retiring
have to retire.
Super Bowl.
No,
yeah.
He would not. He's way too spicy. He's way too of a dog.
He
too
still
much
has
dog.
The passion for it. I think he just plays football because it gets him away from his family.
Yeah.
Like, that's quiet. For him, a little peace and quiet is getting tackled by 11 300-pound guys. When you have nine kids at home, it's like that is actually better to me.
You're absolutely right on that, and I also think there's a piece of him. Like, everyone knows that guy who loves to get in debates all the time. You know, your friend who's you're not that guy. No, there is that guy.
Yeah, I am.
Annoyingly, like, tries to get in arguments and always is the contrarian. I think that's a little bit of Phil Rivers, and he just would miss fighting with refs so much if he wasn't playing in the NFL.
Yeah.
Because he goes for it, like, instantly. Every single call, he's got to at least talk to them about it.
That's true. He does strike me as a guy that he doesn't feel alive unless he's being hated by someone.
Right.
And if you're at home around people that love you, it's like, what's the point?
This is gross.
This is stupid.
There's too many people.
How can
love
I prove
me.
That I'm better than somebody if they agree with me all the time?
Right. Yeah. I would imagine he would dress like his oldest kid up in a ref uniform just so he can get his practice in.
Yeah.
Being like, what are you seeing there? What are you seeing? Stripes?
One guy has to wear the ref uniform every day and everybody else wears the bolo tie.
Yeah.
And they'll just scream at the ref kid.
They just get their practice in.
What I'm looking forward to is next weekend, we've got Philip Rivers and a running back with a sprained MCL going up against the Patriots. So this is his chance to avenge that loss back in 2007. What do you think, Hank? What say you?
Are you nervous?
I'm a little bit nervous.
Kind of crazy how
he's got that thing going.
He does. They have the, like, team of destiny. This is Phil Rivers' last run type feel.
Kind of crazy how Antonio Gates, his career lasted longer than Rob Gronkowski's.
No, that's not true. Antonio Gates looks so fat out there.
He does.
Yes.
He looks hilarious.
He's like a little ball.
He was never running full speed after he caught the catch, even though it was at the end of the game. He was, like, taking his time, getting up and running back.
He can still box people out, though.
Yes, he can.
It's so great. He just rolls down. He's like a Pikachu character. What is it, Pokemon?
Yeah.
He just rolls. He's like, or Kirby. Remember Kirby, the video game
the
where he just sucked everything up?
Yeah.
He just rolls down the field with the ball.
I was going to say his body proportions are exactly that, the same dimensions of a gummy bear.
Yeah,
he's like throw the ball to a gummy bear.
Yeah,
and it will just stick inside of his belly.
Yeah, and he just roll on down. All right, so I'm excited for next weekend, even though football stinks.
Ooh,
really think the Chargers are going to beat the Patriots? PFA?
I think that they can. I think they're really.
You think they can.
Yes,
like we said at the start of the show, every single team in the AFC right now, in my opinion, has an equal shot.
What's
at
the spread
going to the Super Bowl?
What's the spread, Hank?
I haven't looked. Probably like 4.5.
Tell you what,
Patriots?
I'll make you a bet straight up. I do think that the Chargers are going to win.
There you go.
I really do.
What do you want to bet?
Pinkies.
No, we're not betting pinkies. Calm down.
Fuck.
Nice.
I mean, you guys, would someone say pinky?
All right, how about this?
If I win, you have to shave your entire beard.
Whoa.
Oh.
If Chargers win, you got to shave your beard.
That's bad. That's bad.
Name your stakes.
No offense, but that's bad.
I mean, the only stakes I can name that's worse than that is you shaving your hair. But
no, but he can't.
That.
I can't
he
cut
wants
all.
That
I can't
too.
Cut all. No, Hank. No, anything but that, Hank.
How about loser hat or winner gets to pick the loser's jumpsuit?
No,
no,
that's
what?
Stupid.
That stinks.
You have to shave your beard.
You have to shave your head. Like, what do you want me to say back to that? You can't shave your face.
You can
you
grow
have
your
fucking beard.
Oh,
so, like,
oh, Hank,
this is what I need to make me feel better.
That
get it.
You can't do.
Okay. It took me like 3 years to grow my hair out to this length. It takes you, what, like 3 weeks to grow that out?
A couple weeks.
All right. Well,
4.5. I mean, I sniped that there.
Okay. Name something else. Come on.
Let me think on that. We'll announce the stakes on
Tuesday
show.
I got one. You ready for this, Hank? PFT can't have soup for an entire month.
Nah, I don't really care about PFT soup. And I know he will when I'm not there because he's a fiend.
I will.
Oh,
I will.
And
I will
100%
sneak
soup. And he
also
never wore the suit in the original bet, so he probably
I will
won't.
Definitely sneak soup. Yeah. You are right about that.
That is true.
Yeah, maybe that. For the rest
2
of jump-
months.
What about for the rest of jumpsuit January? He has to wear a real suit.
Yeah.
There you go. That's it.
Three-piece.
Okay.
Every single day.
No, I don't have a three-piece suit.
Yeah, Indochino. Yeah, shout out.
That'll take a while to get here, though.
Okay, well, we'll buy
you. You have to wear suit pants, yeah, collared shirt, tie.
Yes, every day
coat.
Okay. For the rest of
and
January.
And you have to shave your entire beard and keep it shaved.
No.
For the rest of January.
No.
Yes, if I have to wear a suit.
No, I will shave my entire beard.
Yes, and you have to keep it shaved
for
January.
For the rest of January. That's
if I have to wear a suit every day, then you should keep yours.
That's fair.
I'll shave my beard once. I'm not sure.
No, you no. Have to keep it Hank, I'm wearing out. A suit every day here.
Hank, that's
yeah.
fair.
You don't have beard. Like, if you had beard hair, you would know that it grows
I do,
back.
Hank.
But no, but
I do
you
have
beard
to, hair.
No,
look
no.
at this goatee, Hank. Okay. Look at this goatee.
Everyone calm down. Everyone calm
I'm
down.
I'm not going well, clean shaven for the entire month of January.
Why?
That's fair. He's doing the whole, and, you, and you're and you betting straight up. And the Patriots.
Yeah, I'm giving you points.
Like, all right, yeah.
Points.
Actually, whatever. I don't care.
There you go.
Patriots going to win.
Shake on it.
There we go. Shaking on it right now. I'm watching it happen. You guys are fucking pussies for not betting a pinky. But that will all suffice. Right. All right,
that was
let's,
hot.
Let's do who's back.
You're gonna. The thing is, you sneak out of every bet.
I'm not
you
gonna
lose.
Sneak out.
You
I do
always,
not.
Always do.
I ate horse shit.
If you sneak out of this bet, this actually will hurt PFT
yes,
more
will,
than anyone.
Then I'll develop a rep
because no. I'm saying the fact that PFT won't be able to wear a jumpsuit for the rest of January will kill him.
Mm-hmm,
like
will.
That's
it'll be bad.
He, that's
especially
his usual.
On Sundays, too.
Oh, on your birthday?
Oh,
on
my
the
God.
Way to
I haven't
Super
thought
Bowl?
About the Super Bowl.
On the yeah, way down to the Super
dude,
Bowl?
We're going to be driving in an RV down to the Super Bowl. You're going to be in a three-piece suit. That sucks. But nothing's worse than Hank's
Hank,
face
yeah,
without,
Hank
without a beard. That's like the worst thing I could ever wish on someone. What?
I mean, I'm not worried at all. So.
I love how Big Cat's back now.
A little bit. We got
yeah,
a gambling
you got a little,
thing.
You got a bounce in your step now.
Liam, you want to bet pinkies?
No.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I did. That is. Look, it's like a way to. I'm just sitting here all glum. It's like, hey, want to go out and make a bet?
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah,
so,
what do we want to bet?
You want to do some national championship talk?
Let's do it with. We have a segment about Nick Saban.
Okay.
Let's do it then.
All right.
Hank, go. Who's back?
My who's back is Game of Thrones.
Cool.
Oh, tonight that was my who's back too.
Golden. Really?
Yeah, I wrote it down.
Yeah, in the Golden Globes, I guess there was a commercial where they had a 3-second clip of. The new season of Game of Thrones.
Mm, very
awesome,
cool.
Dude.
Very cool.
Great.
So what happens?
Real,
like,
real relatable to this
some,
podcast.
There's some dragons.
Fucking idiot.
Sansa tells Dany's and Jon that, welcome to Winterfell. Winterfell is yours, my lord, to Dany's. So that's a pretty big give up by Sansa.
Can we cut Hank?
The nice
Bubba,
thing about
Bubba, you ready for the call up?
You know the nice thing about Game of Thrones spoilers is I don't even understand the language he just spoke.
Hank's probably spoiling the shit out of the show.
Yeah,
right
spoiler,
now. I don't
spoiler. Yeah. What happened in
Sansa,
the commercial.
Sansa did what?
She gave Winterfell to she.
Oh, she
conceded.
Gave.
She
gave Winterfell. You never give Winterfell.
Yeah,
not on the first date at least.
Yeah,
you got to make him work for it.
Yeah, Jesus Christ! Yeah. And you can't take it back, right? You can't take Winterfell back.
No, you can.
Oh, you can.
How? That seems like a little bit like a shady move to just take it back and be like, hey, I gave it to you, now I'm going to take it back.
Well, no, I mean, usually a war happens to take.
Oh,
it back.
That's what.
Oh,
okay,
you win it back. You
now
win
we're
back
learning
Winterfell.
Too much about Winterfell.
Okay.
Okay. PFT, what do you got for?
That
oh,
was
you
it?
Have another one.
I had one, but you asked
okay.
for who's back.
So my who's you. Back of the week is swearing and Wayne Rooney.
Fuck.
Because, yeah, shit, damn.
Damn is really a big time.
Yeah, swear. So Wayne Rooney was arrested in Dulles Airport for public swearing / intoxication.
Wait, who?
Wayne Rooney.
He was?
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. So in Virginia, it's the same crime, public swearing. And I guess you would call it what, drunk in public?
Yeah.
In most states, but yeah, it's the same crime there. So who knows if he was drunk or if he was cussing, or both at the same time? Maybe he ordered a Bloody Mary.
Wait,
at the bar.
This is
and
a
then
real
in British
thing?
Bloody Mary is like the worst thing you can say.
This is a real word. Thing.
Yeah,
he got arrested for swearing.
Probably for being drunk.
Got it.
But in full disclosure, I have experience with this exact crime.
Swearing in public.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, big bad boy.
Yeah.
So, he said it's a personal matter and request privacy at
okay.
this moment.
Nice.
So, I'm going to give it to him.
Yeah, let's give it to him. Wayne, you have our privacy.
Mm-hmm.
Let us know when you want to talk.
Mm-hmm. My other who's back is Imagine Dragons because they are playing mm-hmm. halftime tonight, and ESPN is just advertising for the Imagine Dragons halftime show.
Yes.
More than they're advertising for the national championship
game. Well, because.
No, with good reason.
Yeah, no one's going to the game.
Yeah,
I don't know
right.
whose idea it was to have a college football championship that more likely than not will feature two teams from the South in fucking Santa Clara, California.
Yeah, in San Francisco.
How stupid is that?
It's
just
really...
do the college football championship in New Orleans every single year.
Yeah.
Like, this makes no sense.
I agree with that. Have Yeah, exactly. Have it in the Superdome.
Yeah.
No one complains.
Or in Atlanta. They built that whole new fucking stadium that I want to fuck.
Yeah. Yeah, like, with the butthole
let
that
me
closes
fuck
up.
Yeah, yeah, let me see some aerials.
Yeah. So, Imagine Dragons. So the tickets are what, like $50 now or something cheap? Basically, it's the world's cheapest Imagine Dragons concert.
I hate that. I hate ticket get in Twitter. That's the worst.
Yeah, I don't.
I mean,
it's
I'm not
spirited
a part of that. By Darren, but yeah. The hey, oh my God! Last year it was this much to get in. The only thing worse than ticket get in Twitter is TV ratings Twitter.
Oh yeah, like we were part of that for a while,
trying to analyze each piece of you know
like
one day.
Yeah,
we were trying to analyze why TV ratings go up and down, and each game to game, and politics, and all that. That Twitter sucks.
It's all about the lead-in.
It is all about the lead-in. That's true. Very true, Hank.
Yeah, and the lead-out.
Yeah. Can you build on your lead-in audience?
Right.
That's
and
what they really look
it,
at.
And then leave it for your lead-out.
Mm-hmm.
All right, my who's back is Fred Hoiberg because, for some reason, the Minnesota Timberwolves and Chicago Bulls have, like, a weird docking situation going on with all their basketball minds. They fired Tom Thibodeau, which is sad. I feel bad for him.
Mm-hmm.
He is... He doesn't. He's the type of guy who, like, he doesn't have anything else besides basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
Like, he's a basketball lifer.
He's going to just show up to random high school basketball games and try to coach the kids from the stands because he doesn't have anything else. He might be like, what's his name? What's his name's character in Hoosiers, the drunk guy? Dennis Hopper.
Mm-hmm.
Is that his name?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. So I feel bad for him, but the Timberwolves are considering to have Fred Hoiberg be the new coach or GM. Why? And why?
That's really got to piss you off if you're Tom Thibodeau, right?
Yeah. To have Fred Hoiberg just follow you around,
yeah,
taking
just cucking
your job.
You out of all your jobs.
I actually think Fred Hoiberg would make a decent GM. I don't.
I think he was their assistant GM.
He played for him too. Yeah, and I get it, but I get the GM part. The coach thing, I do not understand.
Here's the thing: if you're any middling NBA team out there. Why not hire Tom Thibodeau right now?
Yeah.
He's at least good to give you like a little bit of juice for a few months.
Oh, he will.
He'll come in and coach the shit out of you.
Yeah.
Until if you're an NBA team that doesn't have a superstar,
right?
Bring in Tom Thibodeau right now.
Right. Or if you have a guy who is like a borderline superstar but a little bit lazy, bring him in.
Yes.
He will kick the shit out of him and get the best out of him, and then he'll play 47 minutes every single night, and eventually he'll get hurt. And his career will cut short, Joakim Noah. But that doesn't matter because
doesn't
he had
matter.
Some
it
good
doesn't
days.
Matter. He's going to juice you up.
Yeah, where he got to the max of his abilities.
Yeah, he's like steroids.
Yeah.
Really good short term.
Bad for your hips.
Bad. Might fuck you up long term.
Yeah, might fuck up the cranium a little bit. Okay, let's do...
Shrink your balls.
Let's do our interview with Mike Florio, which we taped actually directly after the Bears game. You'll probably notice it in my voice. And then we'll do some segments on the other side. Before we do that...
Hey guys, it's Big Cat and Fight Week is here. Rough and Rowdy 24 invades Clarksburg, West Virginia this Friday night, April 19th at 8 p.m. Eastern for the first time since Rough and Rowdy won. Every single fight will be a brand new brawler, and we found the wildest hillbillies the holler has to offer. Order now to enjoy 20 amateur matchups with no headgear, plus our live ring girl contest after the final bell. These country roads are being paved with blood and grit and balls. Join me and Dave on the call for Rough and Rowdy 24 tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern. Witness all the chaos with pay-per-view replay available all weekend long on buyrnr.com. That's buyrnr.com.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Okay, here he is, Mike Florio. All right, we now welcome on our good friend, father, uncle. It is Mike Florio, Pro Football Focus. And
nailed it
again. Pro Football Talk. Come on,
thank
I know
you.
That. I know
thank
that.
You.
Mike, I want to start.
Tonight.
I want to start here. You're a Vikings fan. No fan base has had heartbreak with field goal kickers probably more than the Vikings. Maybe the Buffalo Bills. What do I do?
I don't know, because when it's just wide, right, you don't have that extra agony where you think there's a chance it's still going to go through, right? You had the double, like, moment in time that's never going to go away where you think that there was a chance it was going to go. Like, when it just misses, it misses. So I can't relate to, much less a one doink, I can't relate to two doinks and having it come forward when, like, 1 millimeter difference and it would have gone through and it would have been the greatest field goal ever. It goes from the greatest field goal ever, potentially, to the worst miss ever.
What, so you're saying that you would rather have that than a Blair Walsh, like, wide 10 feet?
I'd rather know. I'd rather know and have it over with. I don't want that extra tantalizing moment that never leaves you.
I right? thought it was
the
in.
Time passes,
yeah.
But the moment never goes away yeah. that you think it's in.
It, I thought it was in.
Just
I,
missed the damn thing.
Yeah, I was second there before the refs went no good. I was say, like, wait, I think that went in.
I would say single doink is pretty bad. The double doink, it extends. You have like a full 0.75 seconds where you're not sure if it went in or not. At least with a doink, it's just like a rejection.
Just stop. Okay, let's move on. There's
never been a triple doink.
Hey, Mike, what are the Ravens going to do with Joe Flacco?
What are the Ravens
going to
do
with
Joe Flacco? No, nobody cares about Joe Flacco. Let's talk more about uprights. That was tough. So do you have any words of encouragement for Big Cat? Like, does it get better?
No, it never gets better. And it never goes away.
I've been telling him that it gets better.
It will be with you for the rest of your life. You will be thinking about it years from now.
Okay, that's good to know.
All right, Mike, let's talk about other stuff. I don't want to talk about this. And besides, we're putting this interview in the middle of the episode, so I probably did all the stuff at the beginning.
I actually have a question for Mike. Would you like to apologize to the rulebook for screwing it up on Twitter when you said that the incomplete pass should not have been ruled an incomplete pass?
Well, no. I expect an apology from Tony Corrente for not explaining it a little bit better. All he said is there was no clear recovery, so it's an incomplete pass. You got to explain that by rule in a situation like this, where on replay there's no video evidence of a clear recovery, that it becomes an incomplete pass because it was a catch. How do you go from a catch to an incomplete pass simply because the ball ended up being on the ground as a fumble and no one recovered it? If anything, it should have been the Bears' ball at the spot of the fumble. That's the logical rule. He should have explained it in that moment. Don't just say there's no clear recovery, so it's an incomplete pass. That makes no freaking sense.
Yeah. But serious point, don't you think that they should make one of their little points of emphasis that they love to do to tell the refs not to blow the whistle so early on all these fumbles? Mm-hmm. Like you saw it in the last game of the season between the Browns and the Ravens. You saw it in the Ravens-Chargers game when it could have been a fumble return for a touchdown. You saw it in the Bears game. Are they going to sit down with the refs and be like, hey, let's focus on keeping the whistles out of our mouths?
They got a tough balance to strike, though, because they don't want to let the play continue beyond when it otherwise was over and then somebody gets injured. And in these moments, and this is one of the things they were concerned about, this is why they didn't want to make the catch rule something where there would be more catches, because with more catches, there are more fumbles and there are live balls even after the whistle has blown. And it's amazing to me that no one got that football because these guys are coached. Go get that football. Just pick it up. It didn't have to be a mad scramble. The ball's right there. Somebody from the Eagles needed to pick it up. At the moment it happened, I thought somebody needs to pick that ball up because you never know what's going to happen with the ruling on the field, whether it's an incomplete pass or a catch. So I think these guys are coached. They just blew it in that moment. Both teams blew it because either team, if there's a clear recovery, that's the team that has the ball at that spot.
Okay, so moving on to the other games, screw that game. The weird thing or the interesting thing about this wild card weekend, I feel like all the teams that lost, their arrow is somewhat pointing up, so there's not going to be big changes. But the Lamar Jackson, the Ravens game, it kind of looked like everything that a lot of people have been saying, that maybe he can't be trusted as a thrower, it all came true in the playoffs. Do you think the Ravens are going to be going to the next season like, hey, this is our guy, or is there some doubt that creeps in even though they finished the season on such a great tear?
They made the strategic decision back when they drafted him, and even before that, they want to get back to old school football, Ravens football. Run the ball, have a quarterback who will run the ball, throw the ball. You've got Greg Roman there for now. He may end up being hired somewhere as an offensive coordinator. Marty Morningwake was all in on this. They've got Lamar Jackson. They'll probably keep RG3, maybe even get a third quarterback who can play the way that Lamar Jackson is playing. It gets weird, though, if John Harbaugh ends up leaving. And that door's not slammed shut.
Ooh,
I think the Dolphins will call. I think the Broncos will call and find out what does it take to get John Harbaugh, and then what does it take to sign John Harbaugh? But if they were going to extend him, they'd extend him by now. He has all the leverage here. The question becomes, how much do the Ravens want, knowing that after next year he can walk away with no compensation whatsoever? But John Gruden, when he got traded essentially to the Buccaneers, the Raiders got 2 first-round picks, 2 second-round picks, and $8 million, and he was under contract for only 1 more year. So I think the Ravens are going to want a lot.
What do you think the going rate is going to be for a John Harbaugh?
I think it's got to at least be a first-round pick, at least a first-round pick, before the Ravens will do it. Otherwise, it's just screw it. We'll just keep him for a year. And there could be some internal disagreement here because they value their draft picks. You know, that whole compensatory draft pick process, and no one understands the formula. The Ravens understand that formula. They know how to sign free agents, what to do with free agents, how to work that system to get maximum compensatory draft picks. They know the value of draft picks. So if it comes down to whatever the best offer is, and if you can get two teams in on it, maybe you can get an auction going where it doesn't matter what you want. They just keep bidding each other higher and higher. But at some point when the best offer's on the table, you're going to have people, I believe, in that Ravens organization that say, look, we only got this guy one more year anyway. Let's take these draft picks. Let's get more players, and let's go hire our coach now.
How much of next year do you think factored in for Harbaugh when he was on the sidelines, or maybe even at halftime when Jackson wasn't playing well and you've got Flacco on the bench? How much of what he's going to be doing next year do you think factored into his decision to keep Jackson in there?
You know, we were talking about that at NBC, and Tony Dungy said – if he sticks with Jackson, then that means he's committed to staying because he doesn't want to do anything to undermine Jackson for next year. If he goes to Flacco, then he just wants to win now, and he's not thinking about next year because he may not be there. And then I chimed in and said, or he just wants to get it over with, so he's sticking with the guy who's not playing very well, and you get out of it now, and you can get on to your next job next year. That didn't go over very well, but I guess you can't rule out that possibility. You just thought, hey, you know what, let's keep the kid in. And when it ends, and we figure out what's going on for 2019. But I think he wanted to do what he could to win. I think after that missed field goal, I mean, there was a spot there where I thought they had to make the change, but they got that good field position, and I think that was the spot where you go with Flacco. But I felt like they wanted to keep going with Jackson, and it almost worked.
It did.
But I just felt like it was so bad in the first half. They needed to spark from Joe Flacco, and I don't think Lamar Jackson would have held some grudge about it to the point where he would have been ruined next year. He's a rookie, for crying out loud, and they have a great backup who's available to come in and try to save the day.
Yeah, and you saw it in the playoffs. I mean, it's always hard for rookies to win their first playoff game, 0-3 on this weekend. I want to move to the Saturday night game, though. Dak Prescott, Jason Garrett, what are you thinking? 5 years for Dak Prescott, 10 years for Jason Garrett? What are their new contracts going to look like after winning one game?
You know, it's funny that the Cowboys have been talking about extending Dak Prescott. They don't talk about how much they want to pay him. Whatever they wanted to pay him, it went up on Saturday night because he played at a higher level. He elevated his game, and I think that's where guys make their money. That's where guys make their legacies, and that's where guys gain the confidence to be better the next year and the year after that. So he made himself a decent amount of money, and he may want more than what the Cowboys are willing to pay. But I think that they're in good hands with Prescott now. With Jason Garrett, it can all go off the rails next year. But, you know, Jerry Jones has been vindicated so far. It was an impressive win against a very good Seahawks team. Now we'll see what they can do on the road against the Rams.
Yeah, that quarterback draw made him probably $40 extra million, I would guess.
I wouldn't quite go that far.
Oh, I would. But,
oh, go further. Yeah. Hey, you want to try me, Mike?
Yeah, $50 million.
Come at me, bro.
I keep going.
Yeah.
60.
You don't want this.
I think our perception of him definitely changed. Didn't your perception of him change last night? I know mine did.
I don't know.
I typically go with what Skip Bayless says.
I typically
and
don't.
Skip is in love with him.
Yeah, I typically don't base my entire opinion on one game, but I will base my opinion on one game on the other side. Brian Schottenheimer, he has to get fired.
Yeah, look, I don't know what they were thinking when they hired him. I mean, we have seen time and again that he just doesn't take a team to where it needs to go. You need to unleash Russell Wilson more than they did. I don't get it. And Pete Carroll was very diplomatic after the game about, you know, why they didn't run the ball more, why they didn't run the ball more with Russell Wilson. It's like they were so committed to run. They didn't throw the ball down the field until it was in a dire situation, and it worked. And I just think they should have been riding Russell Wilson more in that game. I don't know that he gets fired after that, but I think next year Pete Carroll is going to be keeping a much closer watch on Schottenheimer.
They're going to bring him back, you think?
Who, Schottenheimer?
Yeah.
I don't think they're firing him after 1 year.
I don't think
they're firing him after one game. I mean, because he had a good year. I mean, overall the team was good. I think Pete Carroll needs to learn how to get more involved in the offense in those key moments. What happened, you know, 4 years ago when the decision to pass instead of run? I mean, I don't know whether he had a chance to trump Daryl Bevel, but I just think the head coach needs to be ready to jump in. I don't like it when the defensive coach tries to wash his hands of the offense. I think he's got to be ready to get involved.
Well, he's learned his lesson from that play call on the 2-yard line because all he does is run the ball now. They love running the ball at a shotgun more than any team I've ever seen in my entire life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I remember them doing that the year after, what was it? It was the year after the Super Bowl loss. They did that against the Rams, and Marshawn Lynch's mom was going nuts because they were running the same play. It's so predictable. Same situation, same formation, same play. They tried it on fourth down and got stuffed. So there's a stubbornness there on offense with the Seahawks that keeps coming back to bite them, and they were too stubborn last night trying to stick to the run.
Okay, I'm ready to go back to the Eagles-Bears game, but I don't want to talk about the Bears. I want to talk about what the Eagles are going to do with Nick Foles, because this is incredible. This is incredible. I mean, he did it again on the fourth quarter drive, fourth and goal. He makes a big play. He's making big plays left and right. He obviously didn't have a great first half, couple of interceptions. But what do they do going forward? Because at some point, the guy who keeps winning you playoff games, I mean, you can't just get rid of him.
Chris Sims and I spent a lot of time on this on PFT Live after they beat the Rams a few weeks ago, and we all were kind of like, hey, you know what, maybe we need to take this guy seriously. And I said that at some point between that game and winning the Super Bowl, there's a conversation that needs to be had between Doug Peterson, the coach, Howie Roseman, the GM essentially, and Jeffrey Lurie, the owner, where they block out 45 minutes, they go in the big conference room, they order in lunch, and they talk about what they're going to do with Nick Foles or Carson Wentz. And at some point, Foles does enough between that Rams game and winning the Super Bowl where he's your guy and you trade Wentz. And I think the moment is coming up next week when they play the Saints in New Orleans, because Wentz and the Eagles lost 48-7. I think it was the worst loss for a Super Bowl champion in the following season ever. 41-point whitewash. If Foles pulls it off again, if he's got one more rabbit up his ass that he can pull out in that game, then I think that's the point where you have to say, you know what, Carson Wentz is a better quarterback, but we're a better team with Nick Foles, and we just have to accept it and move forward with him.
Is there any world where they can say, hey, listen, Carson, you get it. We have something weird going on with Nick. Nick's being weird, and he's very, very good, and we're just going to ride him until the magic runs out, and if you wouldn't mind just sitting on the bench until he starts to suck again, that would be awesome.
I know a lot of people are, I mean, I know you're being slightly sarcastic in how you present it just a little bit, but
not really.
Not really.
But I am. No. Yeah. It's the
right.
perfect take.
Think they should,
it is. It's the perfect take.
Yeah, I'm right either way.
I'm the perfect take.
Here's the thing. Think back to week one and week two when Carson Wentz was close to coming back. I think Nick Foles is better. Because Nick Foles was horrible the first 2 weeks. They won one, they lost one. That game against the Falcons, he wasn't great. They went to Tampa Bay and they lost. And this is a real dynamic. Chris Sims vouched for this when we brought it up a few weeks ago. The idea that if Wentz is there and healthy or close to it, Foles plays differently because then he starts thinking about what is the mistake? What is the next mistake that gets me benched? Am I going to hold, you hold on to the ball a little too long? You try to be too perfect because you know they've got Carson Wentz ready to go. So both guys are healthy week one, and Nick Foles is the starter week one. Nick Foles may not play as well as he does when Carson Wentz is out of the picture. And it's something that Foles would never admit. He wouldn't. It sounds petty, but it's a reality. When you have a quarterback that you are thinking is good enough to come in and do as well, if not better than me, I better be perfect or they're going to put him on the field. And I think that Nick Foles will be better if Wentz is out of the picture. If they're competing, I think Wentz ends up winning. Now, here's the thing. Wentz ends up getting hurt in December, and then Foles comes in and does it again. And at some point with Wentz, the problem is this. It's not how he plays. It's that he's not available to play.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can't keep yourself on the field every week, every year, then how can you call yourself a franchise quarterback? I mean, I know Tom Brady had a lost season when he got hit low and tore an ACL, but he plays through every bump and bruise, and he doesn't put himself in spots where he gets banged up. Carson Wentz still plays recklessly, and you have to factor that into the equation of which guy your starter is going to be. Now, again, if they get blown out next week by the Saints, then I guess you stick with Wentz. But if they beat the Saints, or if they even keep it within single digits, you have to have the conversation about what you're going to do next year, and there's an argument to be made that you're better off with Foles.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah.
Especially if you get a lot from Wentz. I mean, maybe there's some team out there that'll give you 2 first-round picks plus for Carson Wentz.
Yeah. Can we move off the playoffs for a second and ask you what's going to happen with Antonio Brown? And tell me this, because this is kind of similar to the Le'Veon Bell situation where everyone got it wrong with, like, he cannot show up. He can show up, but he has to show up by week 10, all this stuff back and forth. I've seen things saying Le'Veon Bell can be traded, he can't be traded, all back and forth. Tell me exactly. Not Antonio Brown, sorry. What did I say?
Le'Veon Bell.
Le'Veon Bell. Well, Le'Veon Bell was the situation before. But tell me, first, what they can do, and second, what they will do.
They can cut him, they can trade him, they can keep him. Those are the three options. Or option four would be he wants out. They want to keep him. He acts like Terrell Owens in 2005, and they can play hardball with him and suspend him and all that. Let's set that aside for another time. For now, they have to figure out what they want to do. It's keep him, cut him, or trade him. If they trade him before June 1, the salary cap charge for 2019 will be over $21 million. If they trade him after June 1, the salary cap charge is $7 million for this year, $14 million for next year. But they got to pay him $2.5 million on March 17. So you got to take that into account. That's the deadline. $2.5 million comes due on March 17. You can cut him with a post-June 1 designation and end up having $7 million count this year or $14 million next year. I think the most likely outcome, the two possible decisions are keep him or trade him before that $2.5 million comes due. And I got word out to about a dozen GMs and coaches today to try to find out what they think is going to happen and what they would do. And the thinking is you got to find a way to work this out. He's too valuable to the team. It's going to be too disruptive financially to move him. And I think the problem, and I'm sure you guys have seen the reports and talked about it, it's Antonio Brown and Ben Roethlisberger. Mm-hmm. Roethlisberger's got a problem with Antonio Brown, and they got to get both of them in the room, and they got to figure out, can we make this work? And because they have to try to make it work, there's too much invested to not make it work. They paid him $33 million over the last 2 years, and maybe if they give Ben a big contract extension, maybe that'll get him in the right frame of mind to deal with Antonio Brown for the rest of his career, because they're better off with him, but they can't have him disappearing when there's a key game coming up. And you got to worry about whether or not there are teammates that can never come back from that. I think some guys are going to have a hard time getting over it. Well, Cameron Hayward, when he did a WDVE interview last week, it sounds like he's willing to forgive. And if he speaks for the team, then maybe they'd be willing to move on. But Roethlisberger's the one that they have to iron this out with.
But isn't it one of these situations where you give Roethlisberger the extension and then Antonio Brown gets pissed off at Roethlisberger?
Well, yes. And when Antonio Brown tweeted on Saturday, it's a system where you have no leverage. Well, dude, you've been paid twice now, and you could have done what Le'Veon Bell did. You could have let your contract expire and play the franchise tag game and force your way to the market like he did. And I think he's resentful of Le'Veon Bell's circumstance, where he played this in a way where he's going to cash in majorly on the open market, something Antonio Brown never did because he was never willing to take the financial risk because he always took whatever the Steelers offered.
Got it. Okay, my last question, what's going on with Cliff Kingsbury? Are the Patriots really thinking he's going to be offensive coordinator? Can two guys as hot as Tom Brady and Cliff Kingsbury coexist in the same town?
You remember, they did once before. Cliff Kingsbury was a sixth-round pick, just like Tom Brady. He was picked number 201 in 2003. He was only there for like a year or so, but Bill Belichick, I'm told, respects Kingsbury, and he's one of the guys that they would consider if Josh McDaniels actually leaves this year. And Kingsbury is quite possibly going to quit at USC. There's a small buyout he would have to pay relative to the buyout that he's getting from Texas Tech and just move on and take his chances and go interview with the Jets for the head coaching job, with the Cardinals for the head coaching job, go be someone's offensive coordinator. There's going to be such a run on offensive talent when they start hiring coaches this year. There's going to be plenty of spots for Kingsbury at a minimum as an offensive coordinator.
How did he go from not being good enough to coach offense in the Big 12 to being an NFL head coach?
Well, I think what happened was the NFL teams had begun to embrace completely the college offenses. So this is the guy that built Patrick Mahomes. This is the guy that designed that offense. And you're going to have more and more teams with that kind of an offensive approach. And everyone wants to find the next Sean McVay, the next Matt Nagy, the next Doug Peterson. And, you know, when you look at Nagy and Peterson's career arc, it's not like they coached for a long time. But what's going to happen is there's going to be a lot of unqualified guys who get hired. And I'm not saying Cliff Kingsbury's unqualified, but when you're desperate to find offensive coaches. Now, look, that may swing back the other way with the playoffs being more defensive struggles. We're getting away from 54-51 and we're getting to 16-15. But I still think that it's a reality that benefits offensive coaches, where there's going to be such a demand that even if you weren't good enough to coach Texas Tech, you may be good enough to be the head coach of the New York Jets.
Okay. See, I would zig while others zag. Now's the time where you bring in Rob Ryan and you go, hey, I'm going full defense. I'm going unkempt instead of a guy with a good haircut and a playbook as thick as the Bible.
You know, or Rex. You know, it's funny. Rex was reportedly making calls last week telling guys to get ready, and I don't know what they're getting ready for because he hasn't gotten a call. There's a bunch of former head coaches that would love to get back in that can't get a phone call. And you guys know who would be at the top of your list.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, my last question, SeatGeek question. Put
you,
in what, promo.
You don't mention his name anymore?
No.
Is he like?
We don't want to jinx it.
Oh, okay.
Jeff. What?
I was about to mention it. Literally, okay. My right, SeatGeek right. question. Put in promo code TAKE, get $10 off SeatGeek question. Will he get a job?
No.
Why?
You know, I thought he would. He's so connected at the league office. I thought there would be one owner that would decide to give him another shot. And who knows? Crazier things have happened. And some of these owners make decisions we don't quite understand. But his name has not come up at all. If anybody is pursuing him, it is either being done very secretly or an owner's going to get to a spot where he says, you know what? I don't like any of these options. Let's go get Jeff Fisher. That's the only way it's going to happen this year.
Okay, someone's going to do that. Someone's mm-hmm. going to do that. Mike, thank you as always. I appreciate it. And whatever, man. It's just football stupid.
Hey, Big Cat. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. There's other sports going on. Just throw yourself into the other sports. You know? It'll be
the
okay.
Bulls. That's right. The Bulls are great. The Bulls. Yeah, yeah.
Who do you – Wisconsin, right? Northwestern? No.
Yeah, no.
Wait, Chicago?
Not Northwestern. What the fuck? All right. Jesus
Christ. Do you follow hockey? Are you the
yes,
hockey fan?
Yes, but I mean, they stink too. Whatever. It's fine. Right. Football's stupid. All right. See you, Mike.
Hey,
love you.
Hey, real quick, Mike. I got you on the phone right now. This source just came through for me right now. Can I report this live and you can confirm whether or not this has legs?
I can only imagine.
Okay.
What?
I'm told that the Buccaneers have hired Bruce Arians as head coach and Todd Bowles as defense coordinator to be announced.
That would not surprise me.
Okay.
That would not surprise me at all. It wouldn't surprise me at all because I was talking to somebody today that if Arians gets that gig, Todd Bowles is a no-brainer to be the coordinator.
Okay, boom. I just reported
it
right now.
Like it was
boom.
Close.
It's time stamp,
breaking news.
Timestamp 8:42 p.m. Eastern.
Breaking news.
I want to make sure I understand this properly. Must credit if it's actually correct.
Right.
Yeah, no, it's
and
like
it's breaking right now. People won't listen to it until tomorrow. Yeah. But when you hear it, you know that it was breaking at the moment.
It must credit
got
father
it.
And son duo.
Yeah,
how about that?
Got it.
And the little
got
sad
it.
The little sad nephew in the
and,
corner.
And a little sad
just with his hands down his
stopping
pants crying.
Big
yeah.
cat.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Okay, okay. Bye.
Love you, Dad.
Love you.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Hey, it's PFT here talking about Peloton. Starting is everything when it comes to fitness. Peloton encourages you to get moving by doing what you can. Peloton helps you start no matter what level you're at. That's why they have instructors who motivate you from day one with thousands of classes from all levels to get you started.
I love my Peloton. I'm back on the Buns of Anarchy. I've been back on the bike if you want to join Buns of Anarchy.
Wherever you're starting, get moving with a Peloton bike or bike plus rental at www.onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply.
Okay, let's get to some segments.
Okay.
I'm just realizing right now that, like...
You're fine.
No, what happened... You'll be fine. What happens in this world that we live in, the content world, it happens, the loss happens, it's an immediate punch to the stomach, it's an immediate, like, hour of just, fuck, I hate everything. And then we have to get in here, and I got to kind of pick it up a little. Mm-hmm. I'm just thinking about how I'm going to wake up tomorrow morning and just... It's going to be brutal, because... Football stinks. Football's stupid.
There are
gonna Sports be, are stupid.
There are going to be many, many times that you have to relive this loss, which is tough.
Sports
I want
so,
you know, I want
sports
you know that
are so dumb.
I'm here for you.
Would you rather have the Eagles like go to the Super Bowl or just lose next week? Could that make it
this
better
is,
or worse?
This is the worst conversation, and it always happens like right after your team gets beaten in the most heartbreaking fashion. It's like, would you rather that the person that just killed your parents go on to become the Joker, or would you rather that they get run over by a car when they're running out of the alley?
I would... In this case, it's an easy answer for me. I would rather the Eagles win another Super Bowl. So we can all just be like, hey, what was that with Nick Foles?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was crazy. And we just become like, oh, yeah, that's almost a badge of honor. Like, you got beat by Nick Foles, who did the impossible and won won two straight Super Bowls on insane runs.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's like Nick left his little little mark on your tramp stamp.
Right.
On his
exactly.
way out the door.
An imprint.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you had to get a couple
You're walking
stitches.
A little funny for
you had
a
to,
while.
Yeah. You had to get an episiotomy.
Yeah. So.
Go look that one up.
Just stupid. It's just stupid. Like, caring about sports are stupid. It's dumb.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to read that book.
But we love it.
All right, let's talk about some more sports. Sports. So dumb. All right, Nick Saban.
Yeah.
Give me the King's State Kings.
Well, King's State Kings, Nick Saban.
I still have to fucking pour water on myself.
He was asked about.
Oh, yeah, shit.
Fuck you, Hank.
We good?
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, the national championship's tonight.
He's just such a giggler.
We get to watch sports.
I just ate out giggles.
We get to gamble on sports.
Remember
tonight,
when you made me do Soggy Sorrows for the Celtics losing to like the Cavaliers March?
Do you know how you can?
Because I do.
That was a bad loss, though.
Do you know how you can like make a dog not bark like there's a surgery? It's fucked up. Like, no one should ever do it.
Yeah.
There is. I wish I could do that surgery on Hank so he could never laugh again.
Is it called
again.
Just training them?
No. It's fucked up. But I wish I could do that for Hank.
We should get a dog
so he can't giggle. Yeah.
It's very confusing to me because this is like a sports comedy podcast. You guys like try and be funny, so sometimes when you are,
we try to be funny.
Yeah, this is a classic Hank spin zone being like, I'm sorry that you guys are so funny that I laugh at you.
Yeah, right.
Big Cat.
When you try to be funny, you sometimes are funny.
Big Cat, when you joke about how heartbroken you are about the Bears losing, that's funny. That's what you're trying to do,
it's
right?
It's trying really hard. The rest of your jokes stink. But the one where you're not joking is trying to be funny.
This whole years-long setup of Big Cat being a Bears fan just for this comedy payoff
funny.
It was perfect, Big Cat.
Oh, hilarious.
You know how hilarious it was.
Yeah, the Bears, they were like, hey, let's have a good year this year and then lose in heartbreak fashion so that Hank can laugh at this trying to be funny.
Classic comedy. Okay. Boink. College football.
I seriously
don't let him.
Can I throw something at him?
No, he's trying to bait you.
He broke my computer.
He's trying to bait you.
You deserve it.
Don't let him win.
All right.
PFT? Don't let Hank win.
King State Kings, Nick Saban, college football championship.
Babyface, no chin having motherfucker next week.
He's going to look so bad. If you have to shave your face, like, you might as well just quit.
No. I mean, I've had no beard for like 23 years up to this, and I'm not worried at all.
Okay.
I would much rather have to shave my beard than wear a suit. During Jumpsuit January, the most comfortable month of the year.
That's true.
I'm really, you know what, though?
I can't wait to see. When you snake out of this bet, you're going to look like
I'm not
going to
snake out of it. I'm not going to snake out of it.
You know you are.
By the way, if anybody out there makes jumpsuits that look like actual suits,
absolutely
let me know.
Not. No.
Yeah.
I would love to entertain your product. Okay. King State Kings, Nick Saban. You ready for this?
Yes.
College football.
Yes.
It's tonight.
Yes.
College football lives here.
It lives here.
Thunder.
Clemson.
Lightning. And the Thunder.
The Crimson Tide.
And Dabo Swinney and his Clemson Tigers.
Can they cage this tiger for the fourth time?
They're running down that hill and touching that rock.
Yeah.
That's what they do, I guess,
in Clemson. Yeah, they do.
What is that rock? Is that a geode? I hope it's a geode.
I don't
know. Anyways, my King State Kings is Nick Saban because they asked him, hey, Nick, if you win this national title, you will tie Bear Bryant at Alabama with 6 titles apiece.
Mm.
Have you thought about that? And his answer was, I don't think about that at all. I believe him.
I totally believe him.
I believe him.
He does not think about what he has done in the past.
I think he's concerned. He probably sees like future head coaches, and he's concerned about them.
Right.
And he's like, I don't want this person to beat my eventual record.
I don't even think he does. I don't even think he thinks like legacy or any of those things. It's like, hey, Nick Saban, do you think about how the fact you could tie Bear Bryant, or do you think about the fact that there is a 5-star defensive lineman that's considering LSU and Alabama?
He's just mad that it takes away from recruiting time.
Right, right. That is Nick Saban. Did you also see the quote? Someone asked him who the fuck this person was. I have no idea. They asked him, have you had a chance to watch Bird Box?
Oh, okay.
And he said, no, I have not. And Nick Saban's, like, Bird Box, the fear, I don't want to give away the movie, but the fear would be stopping coaching football and recruiting for a second just to watch a movie.
Him watching Bird Box is his Bird Box.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. If he looks directly at Bird Box, he'll want to kill himself.
Right, exactly.
Yes.
He will be like, I'm going to jump in front of the nearest garbage truck.
Yes.
Again, not to spoil
Not
it.
To spoil it. That's at the beginning of the movie.
Yes.
So it's not that much.
Within the first 15 minutes, so spoiled that.
Somebody probably tricked him into watching a couple seconds of the recruiting scenes in Blindside, and to him, that was also his Bird Box. He's
yes.
Like, you tricked me. This isn't actual recruiting.
Yeah, this is fucked up.
Yeah.
So it's just always funny whenever they ask, whenever someone's like, hey, Nick, do you ever do anything? Like, yeah, I watch the Weather Channel, eat my Little Debbies, and recruit and win national championships.
Mm-hmm.
Is that enough for you? Because that's all I do.
Yeah. Anything else, take that question to Miss Terry.
Yeah.
Because she knows it's not me.
She'll figure it out.
So along the same lines of tonight's national championship game, We were talking about the PED test from Clemson last week.
Dexter Lawrence.
And how crazy it was that we totally believed Dexter Lawrence.
Yeah.
Why doesn't Dabo Swinney just have his entire roster test positive for whatever that substance was?
Because then they would probably have to forfeit?
No, but if everybody's positive for it.
They'd have to forfeit.
No, they'd just be like, they'd assume there's something wrong with the test.
And then they forfeit.
No, it's like in Stand and Deliver.
Yeah.
When every student did really well. Actually, yeah, they just accused him of cheating.
Yeah,
this,
right.
I'm actually proving the exact opposite of my point right now.
Yeah.
So, I just thought I had a really good idea for how they could get him out of it if everybody else pissed
hot. If everyone cheats, no one's cheating.
If everyone else pissed hot, then the NCAA would be like, there must be an issue with the test.
Right. But then you forget that the NCAA is run by the SEC, so they just be like, all right, you forfeit.
That's true.
Cool. Let's let's have Alabama play Georgia.
Yeah.
And Alabama will win.
We'll see who the real best team is.
Yeah, right, exactly. All right, next up we have Mike Greenberg's dumb rules because he – wait, what are we going to do? We're going to fix onside kicks.
Yeah, onside kick, they used to be fun.
They did. Well, they changed the rules and made it not fun.
Yeah, so you can't line up for further than 5 yards behind – the ball when you're doing an onside kick or any other kickoff for that matter.
Oh, wait, by the way, we got to give a prediction. National championship.
Okay.
Go.
35 to 31.
Who?
That's it.
Okay.
That's my prediction. 35-31.
I'm going to say 30. I'm going to say 40. No, no.
I'll let you guys know on Wednesday's show which team was which.
I'm going to say 38-28.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
41-14.
Okay, so obviously Alabama's 41.
No, you don't know
that. That was pretty obvious.
No, you don't know that.
Yeah, Hank, it's not
a yes.
No,
you don't know that.
It's not a yes.
You'll find out.
Okay.
We'll reveal which team was which on Wednesday.
onside
kick. So they used to be fun, and now they're not fun anymore because I think the stat went from like 20% were recovered by the kicking team last year to now 8% or fewer that are recovered by
the
kicking
team. Because
they changed the rules.
Yep.
So we should change them back, or we should do something different.
Yes.
And what the Seahawks did, I think they had the right idea. I think that drop kicks are actually the way to go because you can boot the shit out of those like really high into the air.
Yeah.
But Dixon just hit it. I think he misunderstood because he speaks Chilean and Pete Carroll speaks YouTube conspiracy theory, Paul Joseph Watson language. And so he just kicked his like 40 yards downfield. But I really think that a drop kick hit like almost directly up in the air is the best way to do it.
I would agree with that. I would love to see onside kicks. Now, this doesn't really go for the safety. I'd like to see it just be one versus the whole team.
Okay.
So you have to kick it to one side, and there's only one guy.
That's impossible for that one guy.
Why?
Because there's like five or six other guys coming at you.
Yeah, I know. That's the fun part.
No, that is fun.
Yeah, it's very fun. And it would always work. But you can only do them, like, you can only, maybe we limit to it one a game.
Okay.
So you can only use one a game, and you basically call, maybe you give them two guys, and you call them out, and they have to kick it on one side of the field, so there's a zone where they have to almost land the ball.
Yeah.
And it's just one or two guys versus the rest of the team, and it's just chaos.
I like the idea of having to declare that you're doing an onside kick, because the rule change won't work if you're doing it like surprise onside kick.
Right.
So you have to declare, okay,
this is my onside
kick. Coming.
Yep.
And you just
can't,
so you know.
Yeah, like the kicking team can't run it back, so it's dead ball right away. And it's like 7-2 on that side.
What about if there are two balls?
I like that.
So like exact same rules as they are now. But you can kick two balls at the same time. And both, if you recover one of them, then your team. Then the kicking team gets the ball.
No, here's what I like, a little amendment to that rule. If you recover, it's first team to get both balls. So if you recover one, you got to kick again. Like if each side recovers one, kick again.
Okay.
And it's just you keep doing it until one side gets both balls.
I like that too.
So it's tough to get, but it'd also be fun.
Yeah, what if you just...
Or maybe three balls, and it's whoever has two out of three. That works.
Okay, I like that. Or but they're labeled ball one... 3 and 4,
oh,
and so then
shit.
Everyone spends the entire quarter
like,
looking
oh my
for
God.
Ball two.
Where is it?
Or how about this? If you kick it from the tee and it hits off at least one upright, maybe two uprights. If you can bounce it off two uprights, then your team gets the ball.
I like that. Or we just
you have a specialist right now on your squad.
Fuck you. Why do you do that?
What if they have to?
Why?
The kicker can kick it full speed at the other team, and the person that touched it has to catch it, or they get out of the way. And it goes out of bounds.
That's exactly what it's like.
That's
now.
What it is right now.
No, but they kick it like as hard as they can.
But a lot of people do that right now.
Oh, you know what?
at someone.
Yeah, and they have to catch it.
I kind of like this idea.
And if they drop it, then that person can't recover it, and it's a free-for-all.
How about you take the fattest player from the other team, you make him stand 15 yards away, and do butts up. And so he has to turn away, and you can hit him in his ass.
I like that.
Like, just hit the guy.
What about if you made the kicking nets, like an oversized kicking net, and you kick the ball into the net, and then everyone runs, everyone starts on the line of scrimmage, both teams. Mm-hmm. You kick the ball in the net, and it's whoever can recover it. So you get, like, people getting tangled in the nets, injuries, weird shit happening. That'd be fun.
I like that. Don't get caught in the net.
Yeah, don't get caught in the net. You got to play it off the net.
Sandra Bullock.
You get, like, one guy who's like, oh, he's unbelievable off the net. It's
yeah,
great.
Net, you get net specialists.
Yeah, right, right.
I love that.
Okay, well, I think we solved it. Okay, last up, Soggy Sorrows. Fucking sucks, but here's how we're going to do it. PFT and I are going to get up right now. We're going to go to the bathroom, dump water on me. Bubba is going to be the only one in the studio on the mic. Bubba, what are you going to talk about? Let's talk about what you're going to talk about real quick so we can burn out what you're going to talk about.
Probably how you've just been in a terrible mood.
Okay, fuck that. Why would you do
else,
that?
What else would I talk
about?
We've
right already now? We've already covered that ground. Bubba.
Yeah, why don't you tell every
tell them a story?
No, tell them what like the hot new trends of 2019 are gonna be. Yeah. Like, what are you flexing on? What are you dripping with?
Either that or about how you lied about getting hit by a car.
That too. Tell the hit by the car story. Okay?
Okay, yeah. All right, that'll be good. All right.
All right. Bubba's gonna tell the hit by the by the car story. I'm gonna get water poured on me. Mm-hmm.
All right, so feel pretty bad for Big Cat right now. So I got hit by a car in April. I left work, went for a jog, something I don't do very often, probably shouldn't, and ran around a car that was double parked, and when I didn't see another car coming, hit me. I got flipped over it, basically shattered my entire ankle, broke my tibia and fibula, and nobody here believes me about it. Specifically All Business Pete. He's way too woke. He's kind of a dickhead about it. And Big Cat is soaked. The water does not look great on the velour. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you look
Bubba
good.
Just told what I'm sure was the best story that you've ever heard.
I'm soaking wet. The velour really wet.
You're
like,
so wet. You're so wet. You remind me of...
All right, so here goes Soggy Sorrows.
Big bowl of Velveeta.
I'm soaked, and the bear season's over. The problem
how
is...
Are those, how would you... like, were they good videos of you, at least? Did you look good?
Why don't you shut up, Hank? Let me talk. The problem is, when you watch a sports team, when you like sports, every year you get a little bit older. And things just kind of, you know, progress in your life. You're like, can I keep doing this? And then you think about, like, hey, Khalil Mack's going to get a little bit older. Mm. The whole team's not going to be the same. There was the Club Dub thing. Like, you can't bring the Club Dub thing back. You can't do Club Dub again, you know? You can't,
did they do,
like that
did they do Club L after this loss?
And everyone knows that...
they should have.
You need...
The L train.
You need something...
Shut that shit down.
Who's back of the week?
You need That's something true. to galvanize the team, to sell T-shirts, that whole thing.
Tony Cuomo.
And now we're fucked. This fucking sucks, man.
I'm sorry. Hey, Big Cat,
You're looking for more water?
Listen,
is that why you...
as a Capitals fan, soaked. I just want to say that I've been there before and it gets better.
Hey, you know what, PFT?
It gets better.
The Capitals, listen, I'm
at
already
least
on
have to wear
Monday.
A three-piece suit for the rest of the month.
I'm already on
yeah,
to Monday.
Yeah, me neither, too.
You know what?
Thanks,
you know what? My good friend Mike Dicka once said, the past is for cowards and losers. So, yes, it's a little ironic that someone like that said that and the 85 Bears are like the only... team the Bears history that
no but if
talk
you,
about
no
but you
no,
know what I'm saying
if you win then the past is cool
yeah
but if you lose then the past sucks
fucking Cody Parkey man why
no
why?
It got blocked
at least you didn't see it coming
I fucking hate you
love you guys
talking away so I don't know what I'm to say I'll say it anyway today's another day to find you shine away. coming for your love of joy. Take on me. Take me on. I'll be gone. Until I'm too. Needless to say, I'm on the same edge. Say of me. It's for better to be safe than sorry. Take on me. Take me.
It's Pardon My Take, presented by Barstool Sports.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils, you'll want to invite everyone over, from book club to the fantasy league, even the in-laws.
It smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils are infused with 2 times more natural essential oils versus regular Airwick Scented Oils for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Transform your space with scents like white sage and mahogany or lavender and water lily. Now that's a breath of fresh air, Wick.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.